Well, you know, this morning, the title that I'm giving this message is God's Help for Dads. How many of you would agree that dads need help? Amen? How many of you would agree we all need help at one time or another? Amen? From God, especially. And you know, you always take a little bit of a risk whenever you deal with this kind of thing because, you know, dads, I think sometimes dads can start feeling guilty, you know, and start feeling like they don't measure up or they don't do a good job or whatever. And I know I struggle with that even to this day. Sometimes I look back and I think, well, maybe I didn't spend enough time with them or maybe, you know, I shouldn't have got so angry that time. I sometimes, to be perfectly honest, I'm going to share some of my struggles with you a little bit here today as well. Sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night. And how many of you know the adversary is a wicked individual? Isn't that right? I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll be plummeted with these thoughts of, oh, you failed there, you failed over here, you messed up there, and I won't even be able to go back to sleep because I'm being plummeted with these thoughts of failure, not just failure of being a father, but failure in other areas as well. But how many of you know that even God, the ultimate Father God, the best Father in all He wasn't created, He's the Creator, but the best Father ever. How many of you know that his first two kids rebelled against him? Amen. Adam and Eve rebelled even though he was the perfect father. He was the best of the best and the best example. And yet Adam and Eve fell due to rebellion against him as well. And so none of us are perfect. We're not God. He is, and he's done well, and he can help us to be the best fathers, the best parents that we can possibly be, or whatever we need to be, best employee, the best employer, whatever it is that we need to do. He can help us to be best at any and everything with his help. Isn't that right? Amen. And so I just want to encourage you with that today. Psalm 46 and verse 1 reads this way, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so no matter what trouble we might have, no matter what difficulty we might have in raising kids or otherwise, we know that God is an ever-present help in time of trouble. But sometimes we don't tap into Him. Sometimes we don't inquire of Him. Sometimes we try to figure it out on our own. I think especially men try to often figure things out on their own because they were raised that way, perhaps. They were raised to, figure it out. But as believers, as men, if you will, and any of us, if we will tap into God, if we will depend upon Him, if we will humble ourselves before Him, how many of you know those that are humble before the Lord, His grace is there for us. Amen. And grace means enablement. It means ability given as well as just His graciousness. And so, again, He is an ever-present help in time of trouble. Now, this statistic, I'm not sure you can read it, so I'm going to read it to you, but I think you'll find it interesting. From the National Fatherhood Initiative, the Father's Absence Crisis in America. And you realize, you know, fathers have really taken a bum rap in a way because, you know, the media and everybody else, you know, they put down fathers. You know, there was this sentiment, and I think it's still rampant among some, that, you know, kids don't really need their dad. Well, I beg to differ with that. And, you know, obviously, you know, fathers have been the brunt of many jokes, especially in sitcoms and things like that. I think that's an attack of our adversary as well, to minimize the importance. If we're biblical people, we know that fatherhood is very, very important. Isn't that right? And so from that, the father's advanced absence, father's absence crisis in America. Now remember, when we talk about the, you know, father being absent, that doesn't mean he doesn't necessarily live in the house. How many of you know you can be living in the same home as your kids and still be absent? Not be involved, right? Not be active and what have you. But notice what this says. Research shows that when a child is raised in a father absent home, they are affected in the following ways. 4 times greater risk of poverty. More likely to have behavioral problems. 2 times greater risk of infant mortality. More likely to go to prison without a father. More likely to commit crime. In fact, going back to that idea of prison, years ago, I read a statistic that 90-some-odd percent of the men in prison hated or claimed to hate their father. That's interesting, isn't it? And so again, more likely to go to prison, more likely to commit crime, 7 times more likely to become pregnant as a teen. And so girls are 7 times more likely to become pregnant as a teen if they do not have a father that is involved with their lives. And so again, that's a big statistic. More likely to face abuse and neglect, more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol, 2 times more likely to suffer obesity, and 2 times more likely to drop out of school. And so all of that tells us, and there's many other things, that a father being involved, a godly father in particular, is important and really really a deciding factor so often in the future of the children. And I would submit to you the one reason why we have so many problems in our society today in so many ways is because fathers have not come up to speed, or they have been thinking, even believing the lies that they're not important, that as long as they have their mother, they'll be fine. But that is a lie, and I believe that we could all, if we think about it, come to the conclusion that much of what we see with teens and kids in general that are lawless in so many ways, I would imagine that many of them do not have a father figure, someone setting a godly example in their lives and being involved in their lives to one extent or another. And so again, there's a father problem, and that is much of the problem in our society, because as the family goes, so goes society. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so the stronger the family, the stronger society. And I'm talking about the nuclear family. I'm talking about the traditional family, mother, father, and children. Are you hearing me here today? The biblical kind of family situation. Now, I found this, and I'm going to expound on just slightly here, the sad decline of corporate worship priority. You'll notice the four male individuals in this. First of all, the older man, church is essential. Then the next generation, church is optional. The third generation, church is unnecessary. And then the fourth and final generation depicted here, that who is Jesus, or Jesus who? And I'll tell you, I have seen that through the years, you know, 34 years pastoring. I have seen where the parent or the generation before, or 2 generations before, when they minimize the importance of coming together and worshiping God together, when they minimize the idea of being a discipled or being a strong follower of Christ, as the generations went on, you found more and more of the children saying, I don't need church. My dad didn't hardly ever go to church. He might have been an Easter and Christmas church guy, but he never went to church. Or maybe he went to church and he was a hypocrite because he acted different at church than he did at home. How many of you know that's a problem as well? Amen? Now, we're not here to get on the fathers because they have a tough job, but the point is that these things are important for us to bring out and understand and really help in many different ways. I've given this graph before. You'll notice this, that at the very bottom, the 6% neither parent attends. This is influence of parents attending church on faith of children, concerning the faith of their children. Neither parent attends, so 6% of kids may go. If just the mother attends, that affects maybe 15%. 15% on average of their children will attend church if just the mother attends church. Then 55% when only dad attends church. 55%. Look at how much that advances from the 15% to the 55%. This alone shows the influence and the importance of a father following Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? And then ultimately, when both attend church on a regular basis, and we're believing that this is regarding a church teaching the Bible, not a liberal, so-called progressive church. Obviously, progressive is a misnomer in many different ways, but not talking about that kind of church. We're talking about a Bible-based believing church. It says that 72% of their kids will come and continue on in church when both parents are involved. How many of you know we lead by example in many, many ways? Amen? Now, again, none of us are perfect in any way. We make mistakes. We make failures. But in spite of all that, wherever we fail, we can expect God, if we'll trust Him, to bring it up, to take care of what is ever lacking. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. So vital, important. Notice what James Dobson, many of you know who he was, did he pass away? I think he did. Anyway, he's got a lot of books still out there. And while I don't minimize the vital role played by a mother, I believe a successful family begins with her husband. Really, the Bible really shows this. The Bible, the New Testament, shows that the husband is to be the head of the home. And what does the head mean? The head does not mean dictator. The head means the leader, the ultimate leader. Not that the wife isn't the leader as well, but the husband needs to be the ultimate leader. And we can see from that graph that I showed you that is so vital, that he's the leader. He ought to be leading in loving. He ought to be leading in forgiving. He ought to be leading in discipline. He ought to be leading in ways that maybe he wouldn't even think of necessarily, but especially leading in helping a child know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, being the leader in that, and not just saying to the wife, well, that's your job. No, that's their job together, but he ought to be the leader in that. Are you following me here? Amen. And so again, we see this over and over in the statistics as well as in these statements. Notice Tom Lane, he's got a book, A Father's Influence, reads this way. A father's influence determines a child's view of God more than a whole semester of in-depth study full of Bible truths. And this goes along with this next statement by this other author and pastor. A child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. And so, you know, a lot of times we have heard, you probably have as well, that many times children have a hard time, or people have a hard time, even adults have a hard time relating to and really trusting in the Heavenly Father because they had a terrible experience with their natural father. And that's a sad state to be in, but do you agree? And I believe that you will. Do you agree that God can heal you of that and you can be able to receive from the Heavenly Father and understand that the Heavenly Father will never disappoint you, the Heavenly Father will never harm you, the Heavenly Father cares and loves and wants to help you navigate through life in a victorious way. Isn't that right? Amen. And so praise God for that. And I believe God can heal people that maybe didn't have a good example of a father. I thank God I had a great father. I couldn't ask for anyone better. I mean, he led by example. He's the first one in the family other than his mother that got saved. He's the first one in the family to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. He's the first one. I get up at 5:30 in the morning as he's there getting ready. Sometimes I just get up at 5 o'clock in the morning or 5:30, whenever it was, in the morning, just because I wanted to be with him before he went to work, because he was my best friend. And so, you know, I'd get up and just talk with him, and every time, I can't remember a time when this wasn't the case, I'd get up and he'd be eating his breakfast and he'd have his Bible open. He'd be reading the Word of God. And see, that set an example, didn't it? Amen. That set an example. He wasn't perfect, but he worked with what he had. Amen. He tried with God's help. And that's what we're talking about. Dads need God's help. Amen. And so I want to give you a few things here. A great dad loves his children's mother. And that ought to be the highest priority. When you love your children's mother, you are causing a blessing for your children as well. Do you believe that today? Notice what Ephesians 5:28 and 29 says. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. The idea of nourishing means to fill up, to satisfy. And so the husband's to nourish his wife, and to cherish her means to pay attention to her and to take care of her, etc. And so nourishes and cherishes her. Notice it says, he who loves his own wife loves himself. I'll tell you, you want to have a better life, husbands, then love your wife. Because I'll tell you, if you're not loving your wife, you're not loving even yourself the way you ought to. Amen? Because she might kill you, for one thing. And so, I'm just kidding with you. There is some truth to happy wife, happy life. But anyway, so a great dad loves his children's mother. And then how about this? A great dad doesn't expect his children to be perfect. And that is such a big one, you know. And so often, you know, we have to watch ourselves sometimes, because I have to watch myself in the past when my kids were young. They're adults now. But, you know, not expecting more from them than what they were able to give. We need to be watchful of those things. Notice what Proverbs 12:15 says from this particular version. All children are foolish, but firm correction will make them change. How many of you know then, if all children are foolish, then we shouldn't expect more out of them than what they can give. Isn't that right? Amen. But firm correction will make them change. Ephesians 6:1-4, if you'd like to turn there, you can, because I don't want you to go away from here not opening your Bibles even one time. But in Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to read to you verses 1-4. It will be up on the screen for those that may not have a Bible. But this is an important passage of Scripture. So it reads this way. Ephesians 6:1-4 gives, first of all, a command to the children. Many of us know these. And this is a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, again, notice that it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, or like you would the Lord. In other words, any parents that's demanding of a child to do something contrary to what the Lord would want, they're not obligated to do that. Just like a wife is never obligated to do anything that her husband commands her if it's contrary to the Word of God. Isn't that right? How many of you know He is our ultimate authority? Amen. He is our ultimate authority. And so it says this, and this is the quote from Deuteronomy 5:16, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And so here's a promise to children that if you'll honor your mother and father, that means to have high regard for them, to respect them and to treat them with honor and respect, then it'll be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And this doesn't just apply to children living within the home, but I think that we even as adults, if our parents are still alive, we need to treat them with honor. And you know, not necessarily, I know that not all parents deserve, you know, honor, but we're not talking about deserving. Aren't you glad you and I don't get what we deserve from God, that He has grace for us? Amen. And so we ought to have grace for our parents. We ought to have grace for them, even though you may be struggling at times. And I know people do struggling with, unforgiveness or bitterness toward a parent or what have you. You need to let that go by faith and allow the forgiver on the inside of you to release them so that you can be free and that it might be well with you and you'll live long on the earth as well. Amen. Amen. And so again, the promise that it may be well with you on this earth and that you might live long on the earth. And so, you know, I used to kid with my kids, joke with them. They knew I was just joking. I said, you better honor me or you're going to die. Well, it was biblical, right? But anyway, that you might live long on the earth. All right. They knew I was joking. Anyway, going on. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Now, here's the command of the fathers. First, a command of the children. Now, a command of the fathers. It's interesting that it doesn't mention mothers here. Why? I would suggest to you that it's probably because fathers would be more apt to do this. And so, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Right there, we see that fathers are to be involved with the training and the admonition. Admonition means warning of things to come or warnings concerning life. And so bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And so again, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. How would that happen? How would we provoke them to wrath? By really, one way is by expecting more out of them than what they're able to give. Notice how the Amplified Bible says Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel and admonition of the Lord. Now, going back to Tom Lane in his book, The Influence of a Father, he wrote this, a father's role is not that of resident potentates. A potentate means all powerful, like a king, right? And so a father's role is not that of a resident king to be served by a crew of servant children. Instead, a father must be a trainer, equipper, motivator, mentor, and coach. A father must have compassion, vision, patience, and a steadfast commitment to the process of preparing and molding his child's life with positive and corrective reinforcement. Now, I have a book. It's a great book. I've had it for years, and it's called I'll tell you what it is in a couple of minutes, as soon as it comes to me, all right? I got a lot on my mind. But this has to do, it's 7 Secrets of Successful Families. 7 Secrets of Successful Families by the author, a pastor, Jimmy Evans, and a formula for parenting. This is for everybody. This is even for you in terms of even relating to other people in some ways. And so first of all, rules plus relationship equals righteousness. Now, these are really nuggets of truth that have helped me over the years, and so I think they're going to help you as well. Rules plus relationship equals righteousness. Notice what else he wrote. If you raise your children with an equal emphasis on your relationship with them and the rules you expect them to obey, you will be able to produce the results you desire, a wholesome, healthy-minded young person. This is how God is with us. The relationship we have with Him is precious to Him. Also, the motivation and power we have to attain to His rules is His constant personal presence in our lives. And so say with me, rules plus relationship equals righteousness. Let's say that together. Rules plus relationship equals righteousness. Now, there's another thing, though, another part that we need to pay attention to, and that is this. Rules minus relationships equals rebellion. Now, see, that was worth the price of admission right there. I just want you to know that a lot of rules without a relationship with your children is going to result in rebellion on the part of those children in many, many cases. Are you following what I'm saying to you? And so, yeah, every family's got to have some rules. But also, with those rules comes God's grace and your grace toward your children as well. Amen? And so rules minus relationship can bring about rebellion in children because they are looking for relationship. In fact, he continues to write, Jimmy Evans, many parents demand obedience from their children but provide no supportive relationship. Children have a natural desire to spend time with their parents and to have fun with them. When requirements are put on a child combined with a withdrawal of parental relationship, the result will be either a hollow, forced obedience or just plain rebellion. And you know, I think this happens even in church life, church families. If we have a lot of rules, which, you know, any group of people, you got to have some rules, guidelines or whatever, but it's got to be combined with relationships. And as we have the relationships, then we have love for each other and we can do what we need to do to get the job done. Isn't that right? And same thing holds true in a natural family. Rules minus relationship will equal rebellion. But this formula goes on as well. How about this? Relationship minus rules equals destruction. Right. How many of you have ever known, and don't raise your hand and don't say amen or anything like that, but how many of you ever known of families that had almost no rules and the kids ended up running wild? And you know, especially I think in the day and age that we live in now, a lot of kids have no discipline whatsoever. The parents don't seem to want to give them any kind of discipline, and so they run wild, they rebel, and we see it really depicted oftentimes in some of the things we read on the news where teens, college students, whomever, they're just lawless, aren't they? Yeah. Is everybody with me? And so here we go. Relationship minus rules equals destruction. Jimmy Evans goes on. Some parents are relational with their children, but don't provide rules. Why? Because they want to be their good buddy instead. Is anybody getting anything out of this today? An extreme example is a friend I had in the sixth grade. His mother let him and his younger brother smoke and drink around her. They were also exposed to a constant party atmosphere in their home as she and her live-in boyfriends practiced sin openly. By the time my friend was in high school, he had the physical appearance of an unhealthy man in his late 20s. Sin had taken its toll in his life. And so again, I think that these truths are very biblically based. First of all, what was the first one? Rules plus relationship, what does that bring about? Righteousness. But rules minus relationship can bring rebellion. But then no rules, we could say, or relationships without rules will bring destruction into a kid's life, all right, to a child's life. And so again, these are things worth considering, but not expecting more out of a child than they can give. Isn't that right? Is everybody doing all right today? All right, so a great dad enjoys his children. Psalm 127, verse 3, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And so they're a gift from God. They're not a curse. They're not a burden, if you will. Is everybody with me here today? Amen. We need to not consider them that or even be tempted to think that way. As it is up on the screen, children are given to us to enjoy, not to be a burden, not to avoid, not to ignore, but to enjoy. In order to enjoy them, you've got to be with them, have fun with them, share your life with them, give them memories of dad and mom, being full, fun to be around. I think that is so vital, don't you? Fun to be around. I think it's good to give them those kind of memories. Now, a great dad listens to his children. Here's a big one, folks. Now, this would apply to mothers. This applies to relationships in general. How many of you know you better be a good listener no matter what if you're going to have a good relationship with anybody? Isn't that right? All right, so a great dad listens to his children. James 1:19, the Amplified Bible says, understand this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry. That's a great command. That's a great, if you have trouble getting angry quick, or if you get into trouble speaking to the whole story, or if you are the one who doesn't listen well, you would do well to get that scripture, memorize it, get into your heart, and when you are tempted in any of those areas, to speak it out of your mouth as a sword of the Spirit in order to conquer over those temptations. Is everybody with me? I know that when I was younger, I had a bad temper. I had a terrible temper when I was a teenager, and I know it's so hard to believe because I'm so sweet today. I had a terrible temper for whatever reason. I don't even know why. But then God got a hold of me, and I remember I memorized this scripture, not from the Amplified, but I memorized it. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. And I began to speak that about myself by faith and say, God, I thank you that I'm swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. In Jesus' name, thank you for helping me with that. And I believe he's helped me with that. And I believe there's power in the Word of God getting into our heart. Do you believe that? Yeah. Amen. And then again, the idea of listening, Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and increase in learning. You know somebody that talks all the time, but anyway, we need to increase in learning. The more you hear, if you're more of a listener, you're going to learn more. Isn't that right? And I've learned things about those guys I wish I never knew. Anyway, notice this. Give them your undivided attention. I'm about children now. Not with one eye on the TV and the other eye on them. Oh, man. That's a tough one sometimes, isn't it? When they have a problem, when they are worried, when they are sad, when they're lonely, they don't need cartoons or a video game or their best friend's dead. They need you. They need you. And you know, there is this truth, too, that if you'll listen to them when they're little and they have little problems, they're more apt to talk to you when they're bigger and have bigger problems. Did you get that? Yeah. If you listen to them when they're little and have little problems, they're more apt to talk to you when they're bigger and have bigger problems. And you want them to talk to you. Amen? You want them to converse, to let you know what they're going through. And I thank God that that was the case with my dad. I couldn't always talk to my mother about everything because she'd get mad. But I could talk to my dad about just about anything, and I thank God for that. Amen? Amen. A great dad provides for his children. Obviously, 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, I know that there's nobody here that that applies to, but I have known fellas in the past that, you know, they weren't providing for their family when they could. They could. They were able-bodied people. Some of them were just, if you will, they were waiting on their ministry. You know, waiting on their ministry. And what they defined waiting on their ministry was just being lazy bums and not doing anything. Is everybody with me here today? How many of you know there's that saying, you may have heard me say it, it's been a while, that it's a whole lot easier to steer a car that's moving than one that's sitting still. And so we got to keep moving, keep doing, you know, and you know, sometimes it's doing work that you might not like. I think we've done a disservice to people sometimes by saying, you know, get a job that you love and you won't have to work the rest of your life, right? Because you love it too much. But, you know, on the other hand, thank God for people that are doing jobs that they may not love, but we need them to do those jobs. Are you hearing me here today? And, you know, I had to do a job I didn't particularly enjoy. I didn't particularly enjoy going into crawl spaces with rat holes on the sides of me, thinking to myself, if one of those rats pops up his head, I'm going to crawl out of this crawl space quicker than anybody can imagine. I didn't particularly enjoy that. I didn't particularly enjoy all the chemicals as I worked in pest control and whatever, and you know, various things that went along with that. I could tell you stories, but I won't because some of you might not come back. About this pest control stuff, you know, it's tough stuff. It's tough stuff. Well, I'll tell you this one. I went into this house one time. Now, it's been over 30 years, you got to understand. I was a lot younger, more agile. But anyway, you know, I went into this house, and it was so infested with cockroaches that there wasn't even enough room for them to hide. Some of them were just huddled together in corners of the house. And so, you know, we did the procedure. I was by myself. I did the procedure, spraying the chemical all around all the nooks and crannies, and then we'd fog the house. Fog the house, and, you know, it would kill them. They'd all die. Then I remember afterwards, I'd take off the gear, you know, go down the road. I'd be driving down the road. I remember I was driving down the road after doing this one particular house, and sure enough, don't I feel something crawling on my neck, and I had to kill it. Sometimes you got to do jobs you don't love in order to provide for your family. Isn't that right? Is everybody with me today? Amen. See, there was a point to that. Anyway, hallelujah. A great dad prays for God's help. How many of you know we need his help? I know you do. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's grace and there's mercy, and we can come to God's throne in prayer and expecting. I pray for my kids even to this day. We ought to never stop. Isn't that right? How many of you know, no matter how old they are, they're still your kids and you pray for them. Isn't that right? Amen. And so we pray and we expect in faith, expecting in faith. James 1:5-6. If any of you lacks wisdom, one of my favorite passages, and many of you probably have heard me mention it so many times, but it's so true. We ought to take advantage of it. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, that means abundantly and without reproach, and it'll be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So ask for wisdom by faith and expect that wisdom to come. Having wisdom to know, you know, what to do. You know, somebody one time, and I'm going to try to make this so you understand without giving anything away. A person came up to me, a young person came up to me one time and said to me, "Pastor, I'm thinking about getting a tattoo." You know, they're a teenager. What do you think about that? And my answer to that was, well, this is, I believe it was wisdom from God. I think you should wait until you find a husband. This was a girl. A husband, get married first and see if he's okay with you getting a tattoo. Because if you get a tattoo before that and he doesn't like tattoos, he might not marry you. And you know, by golly, she never got a tattoo. Hallelujah. And so, you know, I think wisdom, don't you? Wisdom. You know, there's wisdom for every situation that could come across your path. Wisdom as to know how to answer someone. If you'll be trusting him every day for wisdom regarding things concerning your kids and otherwise, concerning life in general, there is wisdom for these things. And then going on, dads need God's help to lead by example. Dads need God's help to know how to counsel. Dads need God's help to not lose their temper. How many of you would agree with that? Hearty amens. Amen. And dads need God's help to be patient. Dads need God's help to train their children. God, again, is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I'm going to give you a few more things and we're going to end this today. Is everybody okay? Yeah. All right, and so here we go. These are good practical things for our lives and biblical truths for our lives. And get this from a book called You Can Have a Happy Family by a fellow by the name of Morris Sheets. I don't even know if it's in print anymore. But anyway, notice this. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. And you know, I'll go back to that for a minute. You see, when you are critical in a destructive way. I know there's constructive criticism, but we're talking about destructive criticism. When you're critical of your children, and even if there's that atmosphere of criticism all the time, it's not healthy, is it? And so a lot of times parents do that because it helps them make them feel better about themselves. So you need to deal with that differently. Isn't that right? Is everybody with me? And so, you know, a child, you know, again, they'll condemn others if they feel criticized all the time or most of the time. They'll condemn others because it helps them, they think, to feel better about themselves. Does that make sense to you? And that's not the way life ought to be. We ought to not live life that way. And then going on, if a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. Here's the positives. Going on with that. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. And if a child lives with acceptance, he learns to find love in this world. Amen. I think there's so much truth to all these things. Amen. Hallelujah. And so again, God's help for dads. I pray they were a help not only to dads today, but people in general. Many of these things apply to all of life. And I pray that you'll just take them to heart, think on these things, and get them down into you and begin to operate in those things as well. Would you stand with me right now in Jesus' name? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just give you glory and honor. We thank you, Father God, for your goodness and mercy. We thank you for your help. We pray for your help, Father God. You're an ever-present help in time of trouble. You're an ever-present help when we need answers, when we need to give answers, when we need to give wise counsel, when we need to know what to do in difficult situations, whether we're fathers, mothers, or anybody. We need your help, Father God, and we acknowledge that, that you'll give that as we humble ourselves before you and say, God, help me. And Father God, thank you for your ever-abiding presence in our lives so that we can ask you and believe you and trust you and that we don't have to walk through this life alone and we don't have to try to parent alone. We don't need to try to do our jobs alone because you are there with us, Father God. We thank you for that. I pray the reality of your presence would permeate our souls. We become so aware of that every day of our lives like never before, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. We never want to end a service. I do have a song in a few moments just to end the service. But if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I'm not sure that if I were to breathe my last breath or if my heart would stop beating, I'm not sure that I'm right with God. The Bible says it's for by grace are you saved through faith. that it's not of yourself, it's the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. In other words, you can't earn your way to heaven. You can't earn your way to being right with God. It's a gift that you receive by faith, by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so, lest there be anyone here today that's never received Him, I want you to know you've sinned, I've sinned. I've broken God's law, you've broken God's law. I deserve hell and you deserve hell. But the good news of this gospel of Jesus Christ is that we don't have to get what we deserve because of the graciousness of the Heavenly Father who sent His Son, a sinless one, the sinless one, to die for you and me, the sinful ones. So if you're here today and you're not absolutely sure that you're right with God, you can be sure. So would you just indicate that you need Him by the lifting up of your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come forward. We're all going to pray together. But lest there be one here today that needs Him and knows it today in Jesus' name. Anybody at all? All right, I don't see any hands. But we're going to pray this prayer for the sake of those that may watch later. Based on Romans 10, 9 and 10, let's pray this prayer. God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus Christ died for me. He took the guilt, the sin, the punishment that I deserved so I could be forgiven. And so today, Lord, I turn from sin and I turn to you and I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I believe with all my heart that He not only died, but He rose again. And He's alive. So Jesus, come into my life today. And from this day forward, with your help, I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give God thanks, shall we? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time and you meant it, the Bible says you're a new creation in Christ. You may not feel any different, you may not look any different, but the Bible says that something changed on the inside if you meant that prayer. I don't know if you meant it, and so I can't promise you that now you're right with God, because maybe you just did it like a parrot would do it and just parroted it off. But if you meant that prayer with all your heart, the Bible says now that you're a new creation. And now you need to grow in the things of the Lord. Amen? Amen. And get into the Word of God and study and be with other believers as well. Amen. Praise God.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334, or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.